Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you for having me here today with the body of Christ. I'm so blessed to be able to share what you are doing through a sinner saved by grace. God, give the brothers and sisters ear to hear. Let them hear the message, but more importantly, Lord, more importantly, let them hear from the Holy Spirit, that quiet voice that is in all of us. And Lord, I give you all the glory for everything that I'm about to talk about today. Because it is not Tony Jones, it is Christ and Tony Jones that brings this word today. Thank you. That was a proverb told to me by a Christian senator in 2007, and it really best describes the Haitian people. Now, I wish I could hug you when I tell you what I'm going to tell you right now. I wish I could hold you. I've been on the mission field some 20 years. I'm in a country in Haiti that has more NGOs, more mission groups, more orphanages than any country in the world. And yet it is still one of the darkest countries in the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, Haiti doesn't need another clinic. Haiti doesn't need another missionary. Haiti doesn't need another orphanage. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to build clinics and schools and orphanages. He came to save sinners. And the only thing that will win the war against poverty, injustice, disease, and hunger is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it is the Spirit of God through the Word of God. It's not through some program that we've come up with. It's not through some feeding program or some nutrition program. It is through the Word of God. And the only good mission is one that leads hearts to Christ. Does he not deserve the reward for his punishment? Does he not? I'm in a country, the town that I am in has 20 missions. They're like a Tim Hortons on every corner. The population is around 5,000. 7% of the population live in this town. 93% of the population live in the mountains. And I met a mountain man one day, and I was sitting with the local mayor, and I said to Salam, I said, Salam, we got missions all over this place. Where's the greatest need? And he said, Tony, the mountains. And I look, I go, people live up there? 93% of the population live in the mountains, and they had never seen a missionary. None of these 20 in town with their Toyota Land Cruisers and their barbed wire fences and all their clinics and that had ever gone to reach the mountain people. And brothers and sisters, forgive me if I sound critical about missions. No doubt Haiti would be worse off without them. But brothers and sisters, we need to just do things a little different. That's just what Lord put on my heart. So I'm going to introduce a video to you. This is after I met this mountain man. I'm going to show a video that was done. And by the way, I want to thank my brother Thomas for letting me know about you guys. And it's a blessing to see Thomas here today and to be able to share what God's doing. Okay, I'm going to show you this video. Maybe some have seen it. It's of what we do in the mountains. And I went up there in 2008, and I do a coffee ministry. You know, the people in Haiti, they're just totally hopeless. And you know, you see what's going on now. I can't believe Haiti's actually finally making the news. This problem that is now has been building up. I've been in Haiti 15 years. I can say most of the mission groups left in 2016, 17. The problem started way back then, but now it's just escalated. But anyway, we serve in a mountain region, and this short video is going to show you of the work we do up there, and what is God, and like I said, what God is doing through a sinner like me. So Caleb, if you could run that. And by the way, I'm not a coffee salesman, but I can guarantee you, when you see this, you're going to want to buy coffee. I brought some. But anyway, I just want you to let you know that. If you could play that, Caleb. Thank you. I want to be very, very clear with everybody out there. Very clear. I'm not here for the needs of the Haitians. I'm not here to empower them. I'm here to give them Jesus Christ, who will give them eternal life, which is a lot better than what I can give them. My name's Tony Jones. I'm a disciple for Christ here in Grand Guave, Haiti. When I went to the mountains, I was the first white guy they'd ever seen. We got 20 missions in town and none up there. Now, to give you an idea, we go up at that time on my motorcycle for 2.5 hours, and then we had another 3-hour donkey ride to get to this area. They'd never seen a missionary. I was really taken back when I asked the children about Jesus. And I asked him, "Ukoni Jay-Z, do you know Jesus?" And they were like, "Who's that?" And they said, "Do you mean Jab?" And it's the first time I heard Jab. And I asked the mayor's director, I said, "Jab," I said, "what is Jab?" "Oh, Tony, that's the devil. That's the devil in Creole." And I said, well, why are they saying that?" He said, "Tone, you're in the land of voodoo." And I go, "Voodoo? I didn't even really know about it." He said, "These people all practice voodoo. They don't know the Lord." And I just, right instantly, I said, "Now I know why you got me up here, Lord." So the deal was, what I would do is pay the teachers, but first and foremost, the kids had to hear the gospel every morning before they started school. And that is how I started to disciple the mountain kids. Well, you know what? When the children went home, they were different. It took about 1.5 years before I saw really good fruits. But now these little children are going home, and their voodoo parents are catching them praying in the morning, praying at night. And they wanted to know what this was all about. The women, the mothers, were really curious. What are these kids doing? They noticed their kids weren't fighting with them anymore. They noticed their kids were actually listening to them. They weren't being desert, as they call it here. They weren't being crazy. They weren't going and stealing out of gardens anymore. And the mothers would ask them, and they would say, "Oh, Jesus, He doesn't like us to do that. We're not going to do that." And I can remember, because the Haitian people are very aggressive with their children. Life is so hard up there. They got to take it out on somebody, and they take it out on their children. They're you can't imagine. They've never been loved. And they would be getting beaten. And they would say, "I forgive you, Mom. I'll never forget the testimony of the children." And what happened was, the mothers started to come to school in the morning. They wanted to see what was going on. These mothers are there, and they're holding on, and they're listening to these stories. And the next thing you know, the mothers are getting saved because of children's books. And I knew that's why God had me up there. And that's how we reached the mountain people, through those little books. Through those little books. It's amazing. I can tell you, from being here 11 years, seeing the billions and billions and billions of dollars that come in here to corrupt politicians,
to corrupt businesses, to corrupt NGOs, to corrupt missions. The only thing that will effectively win the war against poverty, disease, injustice, and hunger is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So one day I was coming up to the school, I noticed one of the women I know, and on her donkey she had this sack of beans. I knew the red bean, the black bean, I knew all the beans they grew, but I didn't recognize this bean, and I asked her, what is this? And she said, oh, it's coffee. And I didn't even know they grew coffee up here. This is in 2008. So what I did was I looked at it, and I just had a hunch, and I bought 3 pounds off her, and I sent it to a Christian roaster back in Canada, and I said, Dave, try this coffee, tell me what you think. I just want you to tell me if it's a good coffee or not. And in 2 weeks, he emailed me back, and he knew everything about the coffee. He said, Tony, you got Haitian Mountain Blue coffee. It's a blue bean coffee. It's the best they grow. Send me a container. And I went, what? I couldn't believe it. I know nothing about coffee. So I went back to the families. We gathered all of them together, and I said, bring your donkeys full of coffee. I'm going to buy it. And that's how we started the coffee business. I think as the body of Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord, I think we need to look at missions totally different than we have. This is one thing why I walked out of 4 missions. I just couldn't understand how they operated. Basically, they rely on donors, donations, churches, brothers and sisters to send them money. And what do? They just hand it out. And they do feeding programs, and they hand everything out. And what they do is they create a begging society. This is Haiti has got to be one of the largest begging societies I have ever seen, because we've given them handouts. So now they expect it. So instead of that, why not go to the mountain people, get them to plant coffee, buy their coffee. I'm still getting the money, but they're making a living from me buying it from them. And it's a win-win situation. I don't want to burden churches for money. I don't want to burden brothers and sisters for money. But if you drink coffee, I want you to drink the coffee that we're buying direct from the families, that sustains the families and helps me bring the gospel to this country. Every cup, we're reaching souls one cup at a time, as I say.
I'll drink to that. Brothers and sisters, I know nothing about coffee. That was all a divine by God, that whole design. It has just been a huge blessing, because in the mountains, 95% of the average wage is $2 a day, if that. 95% of the mountain people can't read or write. And the mayor told me to go up and see the teachers. The teachers hadn't been paid in 2 years. So what we want to do, if you want to get a group of people together in the mountains, there's only 3 places you can find them. The market, the school, or the voodoo temples. So what we did, we went up, we saw these schools, the teachers hadn't been paid, and I use the word teachers very loosely. And what we did was, I told them I would pay the teachers. At that time, it was $15 a month in 2008. It was $15 a month. But if you let me pay your teachers, you have to allow me to come in with the gospel. And that is how we started to witness to the children. The teachers couldn't, Monday to Friday, they couldn't even start class till the kids heard the gospel. I brought up all the books in their native Creole language. 95% of the people can't read or write. None of them have birth certificates. They don't know when they were born. If you ask them, they'll just tell you who was president that year. But these little children were getting to hear the gospel. And they were going home. Like 95% of the people practice voodoo. They would go home to their voodoo parents and tell them about this Jesus that loves them. If you were to ask me to describe Haitian society, one word, loveless. Loveless. It is a weakness. It is a weakness. In Haiti, there's no good or evil. It's strength and weakness. No good or evil. What's weakness? Galatians, the fruit of the spirits. Okay, forgiveness, you know. Anything to do with encouraging in that. What is strength in Haiti? Discipline. Yelling. Putting someone down so that you're raised up. That is how it is. But when you go up there and you tell them about a God that's loved them, these kids were never loved. Don't ever think they're tucked in bed. You wouldn't believe what they've gone through, those children. But they're going home and telling their mom and dad about this Jesus that loves them. The next thing I knew, I got the mountain leader coming downtown. He said, Tony, come on, you got to see what's going on. And we get those donkeys and we go up there. And I'm not talking 2 hours. We're talking 6 hours on a donkey one way. I mean, I call them Haitian Hummers. They're four-hoof drive. And when I rent them, they come with a full stomach. Good to go. And we go up there. And here the mothers were sitting with the children because they'd never heard these stories before. And they're hearing Daniel and the lions, Jonah and the whale. They're hearing all this. And they were getting saved. It was unbelievable. Those little children in a community of 350 families, we had 220 families saved within a year and a half. It was unreal. They were throwing their voodoo stuff away. The witch doctors were getting saved or they took off. And believe me, I didn't even believe in voodoo, but wait till I show you what's coming. You just wait. Fasten your seatbelts. Caleb, show the clampets up there. You got to show the clampets. I got to show you me and my wife. And this is our prayer card, gang. I got the prayer card out there. That's not the clampets. The Jones family, jumpins. That's the Black Cross, man. There's the clampets. So that's my wife heading on the right, and my boy Caleb on the left, and my boy Ben on the right. I was going to leave Haiti three times, and I won't get into that, but God stepped in every time and kept me there. If it wasn't for them, I would have left that country years ago, but he knew what to do to keep me. And there's the better two-thirds. All right, so brother Caleb, show me what you got up there. I got to figure out what folders, and I'm going to save the best one for last. You guys have heard not that one. Sorry, brother, can you just, you know what? Let's go to churches. Go to churches, Caleb. There's a folder of churches. So listen, brothers and sisters, I don't plant churches. What we do is we go up, we minister to the people, they get saved, they plant their own church. But what I'll do is we'll take a leader up that'll guide them, and I usually pay for the construction. And they do the labor for free, and I'll pay the money to put the floor in. So this was a tent donated by Samaritan's Purse. They were in Haiti. They left. Well, they came in 2010 of the earthquake. They left around 2013, 2014. They had all these huge military tents on their base. They knew me, and so they gave me these tents, and this is a church planned up in the mountains. Keep going, brother. Swing it. That is how they worshiped after we first saved them. Take a look at that building as you sit in those nice chairs. This is what they used to come to every Sunday, and then we got those nice tents. Not everyone. Keep her going, Caleb. Okay, here we are. This is the women's Bible study. This is up in the mountains. And lady, this is, brother and sister, this is Haiti, not Hollywood. Wait till you see how we build churches. It's funny. Keep going, brother. That's 5 years ago. That's a new church plant. We put 60 people in there now. All they need is a sheet metal roof, some bamboo poles, and they just love to come. Keep going, brother. Oh, okay. We went to an area, they had no water. The earthquake in 2010 had broke all their cisterns that they'd put in the ground. MSC sent me the money, and we put in a brand new water system for this community. They would walk 2.5 hours to get water. Average trips, 2 hours just to get water. And brothers and sisters, some of the trails are about 8 inches, and some of the children fell off and 200, they were dead. They would carry the water because the adults couldn't, they're too big, they couldn't walk the path, and we lost some kids. Anyway, we put this in. But okay, keep her going, brother. Look at that. That's a church. That's a church. Keep going, brother. There, that was a church. Now, that was before we fixed that up. Keep clicking her, Caleb. There we are, worshiping the Lord. They get it all done up. This is Easter. So Easter, we get it all done up. We buy the balloons and the sheets. Oh, the Haitians love it. Keep going, Caleb. There's the team. So we'll go up into an area. We'll go into an area up in the mountains, and we're talking 12 hours one way. Like, this is so remote. And I dress all our leaders up because they stick out in a crowd. Who's all those people in the red shirts? And this is from one of our mountain churches, and we'll send them to evangelize. Oh, it's unreal. Keep going. Here's our kids' clubs. Oh, wait till you see what we got going for kids. Oh, what, it's great. That's some of the kids. Keep going, Caleb. Oh, there. Oh, this. So this young man here in the middle, that's Enoch. He's my main pastor. We send him to the best seminary in Haiti. A family from North Bay paid for his entire 4 years there. And that's Madeline, and that's Leonce's dad. And these are mountain people. Just, yeah, beautiful. Keep going, Caleb. Is that it? Okay. We got a radio station we're building, and we have a discipleship training center. And these are the first. I can't ride these donkeys that far anymore, guys. I'm getting old. So now what we're doing is we're bringing all the leaders into a central mountain area. We're training and equipping them so that they'll go back and do the work that we're doing. And that's the first group. That's our first three classes of mountain leaders. Keep going. We got a great curriculum. Oh, there's my gator. We got new benches for the church. That's in town. John Deere sent me that for nothing. John Deere. Totally secular company, but there's a long story behind that. Roll it, Caleb. I think that's it. Okay. Now, brother, can you show me what folders? I got so many on there. I mean, I can keep you here for 2 weeks. Okay, church plant. Hold on. All right. Nope. Okay, church, coffee. Oh, discipleship evangelism. Let's go there and then we'll do the voodoo. No. Oh, yeah. Go to Enoch. Go back down because we got to pray for these guys. We got to pray for these. Yes, clicker. So these are, I want you to be praying for these guys. These guys are there right now during all this unrest. I mean, I'm sitting here in beautiful Canada while these guys are up in the mountains. Here, so that's John Roger on the left, Robinson, or John Luke in the middle, Robinson to the right, and Edward, my main guy for our kids' programs, on the back. Go to the kids' programs, brother. Oh, hold it. Jordani, Enoch, Franz, and Edward. Pray for those guys. They're doing the work right now. Franz, I met him when he was this tall. What a beautiful story. Okay. Where did I say to go? I got so much here. Discipleship evangelism. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Never mind Wadi Glaw. That's a video we show. I'll get into that. You just start clicking them. I have no idea what they are. Once you open it, I'll know. Oh, there's Emil. He was the first mountain man that led me up to the mountains, the first school I started paying. That is the proclaimer. Faith comes by what? By hearing. This is a solar-powered device given to me. They heard about this guy going in Haiti up in the mountains and the donkeys, and they sent me 120 of these. That is the Creole Bible in their native language. Solar-powered. There's no electricity up there. And this is what we use because the people can't read or write, so they got to hear it. This is what we use for our Bible studies. We give one to every leader, and they just open it, and you hear the gospels. It's beautiful. Keep going, brother. There's the Haitian Hummer. We're ready to go. We just filled it up. He just finished eating. Four-hoof drive. Keep going, Caleb. That is how we get there. You have no idea how hard it is. That is how we get there. Through that, there's no... Keep going, Caleb. We'll be here forever. That's Franz. Keep rolling. Okay. We went to this mountain area. And I'm the only white guy they've ever seen. And we're sitting there down. Oh, Brother Tony, would you like a coffee? Whoa. Now, let me tell you, the coffee that I'm selling is not what they make. That coffee would take the paint off a barn, a mountain, okay? You stick a spoon in there, and it comes out melted. It's that bad. And that much sugar on the bottom of it. Oh, so, Tony, would you like a coffee? Would you like bread with that coffee, Brother Tony? Oh, sure I would. Hour and a half later, the lady comes with six pieces of bread. An hour and a half later, I had already tossed about three cups of coffee. And I said, where did you go, bros? Oh, brother, we went to get your bread. They walked to another mountain area that had bread because they don't make it. I get a hold of MSC. What do? We make them a bakery. We built them a bakery, but Oh, yeah. But before they even eat a piece of bread, we spread the gospel. Man cannot live on bread alone. You wouldn't believe how many got saved through that bakery. It's unbelievable. Keep going. So there's a bunch of them there. Roll it, Caleb. There we are, heading through the hills. That's the end of the trail. They got the donkeys waiting for us after that. You can only go so far. Kick, click it, buddy. All right. How do you evangelize mountain people? I told you, the market, the schools, or the voodoo temples. On a Wednesday and a Saturday, all the mountain people come and they have a market, just like farmers markets. You'll get about 2,000 people up there. Here we are, heading, look at them all up there. They're just waiting for us. Up we go. I got a big speaker. We stand on the highest hill and we just start calling on them. I stick out in a crowd, if you know what I mean. And when they see this white guy on a microphone, they're like, what is that? And they come. We give the gospel to them. Beautiful. Keep going, brother. So this is an area. 60 came to the Lord. 60 of them. And we had to plant a church. And they're starving. They're starving, those people. Believe me. They only eat what they grow. And at this time, this was like about 8, 9, 10 years ago, they had a bad drought. So we brought them food. And we give them a gospel, though. You never give them anything until they get the gospel. Keep going. And here we are handing out food. Oh, yeah. This is our new discipleship class. That's a brother from Westport, near London. The guy in the white, Corey, he came and helped out with that. These are our new leaders we're training and equipping. Keep going. Okay. Our kids' programs, they wear rags. So we haul clothes up on donkeys. Don't send containers of clothes to Haiti. I can buy them. We buy them right there by the bundle, and we hand out the clothes. But nothing is given until they hear the gospel. And usually what we do is we get the kids to pray for about 2 weeks. Oh, maybe the Lord will give you some clothes. Well, guess what? He answers prayer. And that's what we do. We can't give them handouts. We've ruined them, guys. We've ruined them. Keep going, brother. People ask me, well, Tony, when you went to the mountains, you got all these missions down in town. How did you know what to do? I said, easy. I looked at what they did and I did opposite. That's exactly what I did. Keep going, brother. There we are. There's one of our schools. There's all the kids. Keep going. Oh, this was a beautiful family. MSC, the Lord saved their daughter's life. They were forever grateful. They got on their knees and came to the Lord just because of the love we showed them. They never showed love. Like, what are you doing? You don't even know me. How can you be helping my daughter? They came to the Lord. Beautiful family. Keep going, brother. There we are. Yeah, there's our megaphone. We use that too when we're going around. Oh, there's the tip. We got that one again. Okay, that's Leon's. That's it. That's one of our churches. And we're just having a little Bible study with them. Yeah, that's the same group of leaders. Oh, yeah. So anyway, because it's so hard to get up there, we'll go to a community. And they see how beat I am. I mean, sometimes I think I'm coming home in a box, believe me. And so the mountain people, they said, if we could just make it easier for that brother to come here and give us the gospel. They built a road by hand, 12 kilometers. They built it by hand just so I could drive the vehicle there. Isn't that beautiful? And all I did was feed them. I've got videos of this. They're singing and praising the Lord as they dig this 12 kilometers by hand. Incredible. Keep going, brother. Actually, that might even be the video. Oh, yeah, there's the guys again. Keep rolling them. Is that it? Okay. Hit me up with those folders again. Are you kidding me? 10 to 12 Marty already? I told you could be here a while. We're not even getting close. Okay. Let's go to the kids' clubs, and then we'll get into the voodoo. Oh, my goodness gracious. Kids' clubs. Down there, brother. Down there. Get to the kids' clubs. We've got about... Down. You can't. One more. Here. No. Okay. Just start hitting them. So these... Oh, yeah. Here they are. Yeah. Like I said, these little kids have never known love. You cannot go. If you went and held onto a mountain kid, they would run from you, because the only time they're held is when they're beat. And when I mean beat, I'm talking an 18-inch piece of barbed wire wrapped with a cloth so the barbs are sticking out, and they whack their kids. You would not believe it. So we show them love. I can't even talk about it. These little kids will lie. We never start our program till every one of them get a kiss and a hug. Every one of them. And they go back to their voodoo parents and are giving them a kiss and a hug. And the voodoo parents is like, what are these kids learning? Keep going. Here's some of the kids. We have four mountain areas, about 420 children. Keep her going, Caleb, where we do our kids programs. Look at this. They're all learning the gospel. It's beautiful. That is going to be the generation that saves Haiti, I believe. Lord willing. Keep going, brother. Oh, these two are so sweet. They were always first in line. Once I come up over with the donkey, if they see me, they would be first in line. That's a brother and sister. They're sweet. Oh, they're this tall now. Keep going. Keep going. Here we are. We're just doing our kids' programs. Caleb, you can just flip through it. There's all the little kids. Showing them love, and we feed them. We got a big Easter celebration coming for them. It's beautiful. All these punks. Hold on. These guys were trouble. They're voodoo kids. Okay, they're like, so they were deep into the voodoo. They were being raised to be witch doctors. They raised their kids. I could show you a video. I won't even show it. So these little kids, we were doing our kids programs. And Edward's inside our building, and you hear bang on the roof. A metal roof and a rock hitting it. You know what I mean? Bang! These little kids were throwing rocks, and then they'd run away. And Edward's going, oh, Tony, we got these little brats. And I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cook the biggest pot of rice we've ever cooked up there. And we're going to feed them. A good idea. So because we feed the kids. So we had the ladies cook this rice. Well, they can smell food for 2 miles. They're starving. So there's the little kids, five of them. We got 60 inside, all getting ready to eat. And these five guys are standing outside. They're just starving. And I mean, I got the ladies fanning the food right out the door. They're going to smell it. So next thing you know, Edward goes up to them. Vimbalo. Où besoin manger? Où grangou? Are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? Yeah, we'd like something to eat. We brought them in. And they would sit down. But before they ate, they had to hear the gospel. So we fed them. The next Saturday, guess who's back? Them again. This time we give them a little bar or a cookie. They hear the gospel. They hear the gospel. They came five times, maybe six. In the end, they came up to Edward. Edward, we want to talk to you about something. Edward said, okay, but we'll wait for the kids to go. They left. Keep going. It's coming. Anyway, they said to Edward, we want to know this Jesus. And they got saved, these little voodoo kids. You'll see it. Now, this is me in another area, and I say to the kids, who kone jab? Jab is the devil in Creole. Who knows the devil? And they're like, yeah, we know him, because it's, keep going. This was a new, okay, there they are asking the Lord into their, there they are getting it. Those kids have never missed a Saturday, and that was 7 years ago. They have never missed, and they brought 20 other kids. Oh, we're packed. The place is full. Keep going. Marty, 10 to 12. I can tell you about this little guy. No. This little guy on the right, his name is Corton, happy in Creole. You wouldn't believe the story of this little boy. He got saved, and he's in his little, now he sleeps on cardboard, and he's on his knees, and his dad is a witch doctor. And his dad went into the room and he heard him praying, and his dad just beat on him. So he came and Edward noticed he was walking funny. And he called him over, and little Corton comes over and he said, oh, my dad heard me praying. And Edward lifted his shirt and the dad had raked that barbed wire down that little kid. And so anyway, the little boy said, it's okay. I'm not going to stop praying. And when he went back, he prayed again the next night. The dad went in to hit him. But before the dad could strike him, the father heard him say his name. He was praying for his dad and his mother. The next Saturday, the father comes. And when Edward saw him coming, little Corton hid behind Edward. And the father comes and he walks up, Mike Beslin Palio, I want to talk to you. And he Edward comes on out, and Edward didn't know what he was going to do. And he just said, you're doing a great job with my boy. And he walked away. His mother's saved. The witch doctor's not, but now his little mother's saved. This is him when he was coming to the Lord. But anyway, keep going. Oh, my goodness, Marty, I could go on forever. Oh, this is when I said, Ukoni Jay-Z, do you know Jesus? Put up your hand. And they're like, who's that guy? They don't know him. Now they do. Keep going, brother. There's Edward. Pray for Edward. He's doing an unbelievable job. Roll it, Caleb. This is little Teons, little ounce. Don't let that big stomach fool you. He was filled with worms. The doctors had never seen a case like this. And they cook like up in the mountains like a campfire. He's gathering sticks for his mother to cook lunch. And his stomach, we grabbed him, we threw him in the gator, took him down, and he got cured. Or, you know, they gave him the medicine. That's just, oh my goodness, one of the millions. Oh, here's more kids coming to the Lord. Little heathens coming to the Lord. Keep going. Oh, Peterson. No, Benji. His from Port-au-Prince. You know what's going on now there. They went to take his house. There was him, his mom, and his dad. They killed his mom and dad right in front of him. They rescued him from Port-au-Prince and brought him to the mountains. The kids in the community where we witness, or where we have our kids program, came to Edward and said, there's a little boy. He won't stop crying. He's been 1 week. He cries every night. We hear him. And Edward said, bring that little boy to the meeting. And they brought him. Little Benji got saved. And now he is such a joyful kid. You wouldn't believe the radiant on his face now, because he knows the Lord loves him. Guys, it's unreal. Keep going. Oh, here we are. Hey, they got to be alive to hear the word, so we got to feed them. They got to be alive. This is one of our feeding programs. Keep going, Caleb. Keep going. These are all our kids' programs. Kids Against Hunger Canada, unbelievable ministry. They send me a container of food every year. The Haitians love it. And we give it out to the church congregation. Keep her going, Caleb. Oh, there's my goodness, Emil. No, that's not Emil. Oh, my God, I forget his name. I've been here too long. That's one of our schools. Believe it or not, that school, he's one of the leaders that we're training right now. Oh, I can't believe it. Gentle's his name. Keep going, Caleb. Samaritan's Purse heard about what we were doing. And guess what? I got a bunch of boxes. We can't haul them up there. I rented 20 donkeys. 20! We hauled it up. Those little kids didn't even know how to open the shoebox. It was unbelievable. What a time. Keep going, that's Franz. There they are. Oh, I got videos of them. You should have seen them. Keep going. They play with rusty cans. They play with, you wouldn't believe what it's like. These little brothers, I can't talk about them. Anyway, those little kids know the Lord now. We help their family. If you saw their house, you'd be, I mean, here's some more kids' programs. Keep going. Keep going. And there's the guys. All right. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to the voodoo. And then I got to tell you about Joseph, Jean, Jean, Louise. We're not even close. Hit the voodoo. Oh, here we go. All right. Brothers and sisters, the devil is real. We know it. We read about him. We know about him here. In Haiti, you can feel him. I'm going to tell you one story I couldn't tell for years. It took me about 3 years before I could talk it. In every cemetery in Haiti, they have what they call a baroon. Every cemetery. That is the black cross. When you see a black cross in front of a house, that's usually a witch doctor. They have them in every cemetery in Haiti. The voodoo people have their own university. You want to come and learn? We have a university. They have their own political party. They have their own TV station. And they have their own radio station. That is how powerful it is in the country. 95% of the mountain people practice voodoo. And wait till I tell you. So this black cross is the first witch doctor that was buried in that cemetery, and now he kind of overlooks things. This is keep going, brother. Okay, this is right in front of my house. They all know where I live. And this is what they call Day of the Dead. They call it Gede, Day of the Dead. And this is Halloween. They do it for a week. People ask me, oh, Tone, do they celebrate Halloween in Haiti? I say, every day is Halloween in Haiti. So they march in front of my house. This represents a zombie state or death. These are supposed to be zombies. This is, keep going, brother. I don't want to waste time on this darn voodoo. Anyway, they're there laying in front of my house. I was going to throw a bucket of water on them, but I got to respect them. Keep going. There's that cross. There was thousands of people at that cross. The Haitian government has a budget within their government, enough money to clean every cemetery up before Gede. They have money in their budget to do this. Keep going, brother. Look at that. No, guys, hold on. It gets worse. Keep going, brother. This is a mambo. A mambo is a female witch doctor. This is a friend of my wife's. And she got third-degree burns. I'm not even going to get into it because you're going to think, I already know you think I'm crazy, but it'll get worse. The demon set her on fire. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what happened. And her clothes didn't even have a burn mark or smelled like smoke. We had the clothes. We smelt them. And yet she had third-degree burns. Keep going. This is an apprentice. This is in my town. This guy's apprenticing to be a witch doctor. They call it a ganga. And I'll show you his teacher. Keep going. He's marching around. There's the teacher. He's long gone. He's rotten in hell now, that guy on the right. So this is during the big ceremony. Keep going. Oh, don't show that. Keep going. We have Sunday school. Well, so do the voodoo people. You wouldn't believe what that little girl is taught to do. It's terrible. Keep going. Okay, up in the mountains, you can't take a picture. Don't take a picture. Now, the mission group's told don't take a picture because they'll want money. No. In the mountains, you don't take a picture because the Haitians believe that the soul can be removed through the eyes. And if they have a picture, you can take that to a witch doctor. And he puts a knife through the picture, and that little boy is dead. It works. I don't even want to get into it with you. It's true. Keep going. So now these kids are saved. They're so excited to show their picture. They know that the devil's not going to harm them. This is an Easter. This is our Easter thing. Keep going, brother. Okay. This is a tough. The little boy on the left, A. Walson. I don't plant churches, I told you. But there was a Canadian group from Peterborough that came to Haiti. And I orchestrated property for them. And I helped them get builders to build their thing. And this little boy, the reason I got this land is because it's in a voodoo community. Literally everybody worshiped the devil in this community. And I told this mission group, here's where we got to go. And the first thing we're going to do is build a church. So while I was helping them with their construction, the boy on the left, A. Walson, loved me because I pet him, like literally pet him like a dog. I would just, because they're never loved. Once they feel affection, you better get security. They'll never leave you. This little boy would wait for me, and I'd come down the trail on the quad. He'd come running out with his raggy old shorts, sometimes stark naked, jump on, all because I hugged him. Oh, I hugged him. Now, here's the worst thing about the devil. When he asks for a sacrifice, he doesn't want a spotted lamb. He doesn't want anybody. He wants the one you love the most. He knew that little boy loved me, and I loved him. And he was sacrificed in a voodoo ceremony. He is one of 17 children we've lost in voodoo ceremonies. They sacrifice their kids. Thank God, since 2015, the witch doctors in the mountains have either come to the Lord or they have left. We've never had a child since 2015 that we know of. But up until then, we had 17 mountain kids. I don't even want to describe to you what happens to them. And they killed that little boy because he loved me. Now, the church we're planting is now 10 years old. The whole community, literally 90% of it, have come to the Lord. And the voodoo temple is gone. Gone. Greater is he that is in us than is in them. Keep going, brother. This is our keep going, our kids programs. Keep going. This is just our kids programs. They're just so happy to show you stuff. Keep going, Caleb. Is that it? Oh, there's the guys. That's young Dave, too. These are the guys. Oh, that keep going. That's just playing with the kids. They never get this. That's another mountain area. These are all our kids programs. About 420 we got. Keep going, Caleb, because it's already, I got to tell you one more. You got to hear about, keep going. Oh yeah, you got to feed them. You got to be alive to hear the word. So average kid in my town eats three times a week. Three times a week. It's unbelievable. Okay. Oh, that's a witch doctor coming to the Lord. That was a beautiful thing. We got him burning his stuff. Oh, I could tell you about that. All right, we better get out of here because I'm going to... You guys, somebody's going to have a birthday by the time we get out of here. All right, let's go to Joseph, Jean and Louise. You got to hear it. Without a doubt, one of the biggest stories. And listen, you see everything up there? I don't even own a camera. I got a flip phone. I don't do any IT. I don't do Facebook. I don't do any of that. I ride a donkey and I give the gospel. Yeah? What up? Oh, there she is. You had it. Okay. Click. Hit her on there. I don't know. Oh, okay. Oh, that's Sinofar. Oh, that's another beautiful little man. Sinofar slept on the floor. He was a voodoo guy. We went up to his little house. I said, Sinofar, because he always saw the white guy driving by. And we witnessed to him. He's sleeping on the floor, dirt, or on his door. So he would take the door off his little cabin, put it on the ground, and sleep on the door. And then in the morning, he'd put it up and leave. So we said, Sinofar, why don't you just pray for a bed? Do you ever think? I said, we worship a God that answers prayer, and I think he'll give you a bed. So we get him praying. And sure enough, God answers prayer. About 3 weeks later, we brought him a bed. Keep going. Keep going. Family of six live in that. Oh, the story I can tell you. Keep going. Oh, this little man, he's dead now. Got saved 2 weeks before he died. There he is with his Bible. Keep going. Look at that house. Can you imagine? That is 2 days before a hurricane hit. That's his house. Oh, Bombas. Bombas. He's like our pet. He comes to the house every day and we feed him. Couldn't tell you how old he is, but he's carrying sticks for the bakery because the bakery cooks bread. They use sticks. Keep going. There's my son, Ben, went with another missionary. Bombas was sick, and Ben said, oh, can I pray for you, Bombas? And he's praying because Bombas was sick. Keep going. Okay. Now, you might have heard about this lady. Fasten your seatbelts. This is the last one I can do. On a Saturday is my day off. Saturday is my day off because I got chores on the house. I got to haul 248 gallons of water. I got to take my wife to the market because we have no electricity, nothing like that. And I'm not complaining. That's life in Haiti. We haven't had electricity in, I don't know, 13 years. So we don't eat every day in the freezer because there's no electricity. So I take my wife every day to get fresh food. Not me, but another girl. So I just finished sitting down from hauling 248 gallons of water. And I'm having my Haitian coffee. And I see these two guys coming up the street. I go, oh no, I know, they're coming here. They're coming here. They bug me all the time. They're from the mountains. Oh, Mr. Tony, you're the only one that comes up there. We'd like you to come and see this lady. And here's how I am with the Lord. If I gotta think about it for three seconds, I don't do it. The Lord has got to put it on my heart instantly. Do you know many people I've had come and ask stuff? I say no for some reason. Boom, instantly. What can I do for you? They told me about this lady up in the mountains, wasn't far up, that is really in need. And I take a look at her. That's Joseph, Jean and Louise, 116 years old. Once she was the oldest living person in the world. Some lady went on to something and whatever. Keep going. Take a look at her. I walk into her house. You're going to see it. You may have heard it. And I look down on the floor and I went, oh my goodness. And I'm like, oh my goodness. She'd laid there a year and a half. She had never been off of the mat. Now that mat she's laying on is what they use to give birth. Animals, goats, they'll lay a mat out for the goat to have its babies. She's laying on it 1.5 years. It was rainy season. The ants were, keep going, brother. She could hear, she could speak, and she could see. The first thing I noticed when I walked in the room was the voodoo paraphernalia. So the witch doctors will put stuff up in the room to keep the demons out. Okay, so as soon as I saw that, I knew this lady was a voodoo practitioner. And sure enough, I found out she was. When I saw her, I said, oh my goodness. I said, okay, Lord, what are you doing bringing me up here? Look at this old lady. First thing I did, went down, I got a bed for her. So we got her a bed, I got her the mattress, I got the Haitians to lift her up. I thought they were going to break her in half. Keep going. There she is. Keep going, Joseph, Jean. These were down, this lady was at a mission down in town. I threw them in the back of a pickup, and her husband came up to check her. Look at this poor woman. So Dan, you'll see him. Keep going, brother. There's Dan. So he's checking her, and he told me, Tony, we can hear a little bit of water on the lung. If it's early stages of pneumonia, there's nothing we can do. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I said, okay, thanks, Dan. Keep going, brother. So I take her hand, and I start talking to her in Creole. Joseph Jean, Jesus, remember you. Jesus loves you. Jesus would love for you to be with him. She just pulled that hand, and she just, bruh! She growled. I mean, I went, Franz was with me. I said, she's still got some spunk in her. She was so upset with the name Jesus. Like, you should see her face there. Just a smug look, and she pulled her hand away. She didn't want nothing to do with it. Keep going, brother. There she is right there, just looking up at me. Keep going. Okay. I said, I know what I'm going to do. I can't stay up here, but I'm going to make sure she hears the gospel. I had one proclaimer left. Drove the motorcycle down, come back up, and I said that. I brought the mountain leaders over. I said, here's the deal. I don't care if this lady gets another minute's sleep. You keep this thing playing. Keep it charged. Because what it is, it's the Gospels. It's all New Testament and Psalms. But the best thing about it is, it's got orchestra music in the background. And it's beautiful to listen to. So when you're listening, you've got the music in the background. Look at her mouth. We turned it on, and she heard just like Barb's playing on the piano. She heard this lovely music. And she went and she really enjoyed it. Keep going, brother. Okay, so I did that on a Saturday, on a Sunday, on a Monday I got to bed. Monday I had the proclaimer. Thursday the mountain people come down again, and I'm at the house, and I said, what? She goes, oh Tony, you got to come back up. You got to come up. She's really, there's something wrong. I go, what? Oh, she's not breathing well. She's on. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I ran to the mission, saw Dan. He said, Tony, there's nothing we can do. She's going to die. I'm like, oh my goodness, no. So I threw Franz on the back, and I cranked the cowie, and up we went. And there she is. You'll see her house. Before we get to the house, the villagers come running to me. Oh, blonde Tony. And they're going, oh, there's something in there. And Franz has explained it to me, because I didn't understand really what they were saying. And he told me the voodoo people wouldn't go into the room anymore. The voodoo people, the witch doctors, they were afraid to go in and see her. Well, before, they would go in and do all this stuff. I go, what do you mean? And they said, there's something in there. And I'm looking at Franz, let's go. In we go. Brothers and sisters, you wouldn't believe the presence in this room. We walked in, and my Haitian brother said, Tony, can you feel? There was this presence in this room that lit it up. If you could see her face, she was like glowing. She was glowing. I go, Franz, look at her. This time, I pick her hand up, look at her face. She's looking up at me. And I got my hand and I said, Joseph, Jean Louise, Jay-Z, Remy, who? And she looks. And she says to me in her language, Jesus loves me, this I know. I couldn't, but Jesus loves me. I start crying, the tears are running down my arm on her. She died that night at 116 years old. Brothers and sisters, the Lord loved her so much, and he had so much patience for her. He sent me up there the last week of her life, and she came to the Lord. Never give up. Never give up. Keep going, brothers. Or Caleb, there we are. So I had typical funerals about $800. I had $400. I went to the mission group. I said, oh my goodness, Joseph Jean died. And they're all crying. And oh, Tony. And I said, I left. I get a phone call. Tony, we're so upset. We've taken a little offering. I had $400 in the bank. I was going to empty it. I did. I had my $400. I needed $800. Guess how much they gave me? $400. We buried her. There she is. And now I said to those mountain people, I hope Joseph Jean saves me a seat because I know where she is. Anyway, there's so much more, but brothers and sisters, I just thank God for everything. I thank God for everything. Thank you so much for having me. And anyone that is in a nursing home or something, don't ever give up. He loved her that much. He loved her. Thank you so much. Somebody can close them. Oh, my goodness. The coffee. I told you I'm not a salesman. So look at brother. Yeah. Oh, Doug, I'm with you. So, no, listen, guys. So what I do is the poor mountain people are so poor. They got their hope in the Lord. But guess what? They got to make a living, too. So what we do is all the people at our churches, I get them to plant coffee. We plant it, I haul it down by donkeys, I roast it in Haiti, I bag it in Haiti, and I ship it to Canada and the U.S., and I have brothers and sisters drinking this coffee in Michigan, South Carolina, Kansas, and here in Canada. And so what we do, that money, I don't want you to send money to give me a living in some country. No, no, no. I don't want to ask you for money. But if you drink coffee, that coffee goes to everything you see there, everything and more. And so I brought some coffee, and if you'd like to purchase it, maybe you could, I'll talk to you about that. It's $15 a bag, and it goes to support what you just saw there. Thank you so much. And anyway. Oh, absolutely. Do I have to close? Oh. Gracious God and Heavenly Father. Oh, brother, Lord, it just excites me so much to be able to talk about what you're doing, not only just here in Canada, but around the world. You never give up on us, brother. Lord, you never give up. And I thank you, God, for all the strength and encouragement you give me, Lord. For you are worthy, and you deserve the reward, Lord. And God, we all just want to come before you and hear those words, well done, great and faithful servant. And Lord, I hope that I can be one of those. And I pray, Lord, that I can throw crowns on the ground at your feet and say, you are worthy. I give you all the glory. Thank you for the brothers and sisters here today. Thank you for the body of Christ. There's no other club that I would want to belong to. I love you, Lord, and we just ask your forgiveness and we seek your wisdom every day. Amen. Thank you so much.